when one devotee needs to fulfill his service and other devotees can be hindrance for that. They disturb his service. And in order to fulfill one's service properly, one has to fight a little or to push some other devotees. So it will result not good relationship. So the relations may be spoiled because of this fighting. And the question, should we fight a little in order to keep the service go good, or should we try to save good relationship and then the service may suffer because of that? And my certain example is I take photographs from the festivals. This is my service. And sometimes devotees may push my camera and spoil it or smash it. Therefore, I sometimes have to push devotees to touch their bodies and to fight with them. But it spoils my relations with them. So what to do in this situation?
Who gave them the service?
Technical manager of International Tape Ministry of ISKCON. And I was given this service by Mataji Yashoda. She authorized me.
You're
advised by GBC, International GBC.
Well, whatever interactions that we do with devotees should try to be... should always be pleasant, even if there's some disagreement. But ultimately, we should avoid conflict with devotees as a result of doing our service. In other words, we should do our service in a way that avoids conflict with devotees. We have an obligation to both. We have an equal obligation to have friendly relationships and also to engage in devotional service. And therefore we should do both. It shouldn't be a either-or thing, but rather it should be something that this and that, you do both. And sometimes that requires compromise on both sides. In other words, it requires compromise sometimes in service, and sometimes it requires compromise in terms of how devotees accept that there's a certain inconvenience, like either being in a place when you're taking photographs where people can't push you. Anyway, it's a matter of trying to actually achieve that balance, and that's what we want to do. Not want to be in a position to offend devotees, so do service in a way that avoids that. Something further on questions on that? Uh-huh.
So disturbed devotees and pictures. But in fact, when I'm on festivals and I do this service, I should exactly put the camera inside, in the center where all the devotees are in order to make a good picture of the class or of kirtan. Therefore, sometimes in order to keep my service good, I have to be hard with devotees.
Make a stand where you're standing on something or be surrounded by some type of... little barricade that in short it's better not to be hard on devotees. Okay. What else?
When new devotees come to our place for Namahata, some devotees advise that we should directly preach them at the spot. But there is another opinion that we should not preach them at once. We should somehow start from preaching indirectly or softly. So what is your opinion about that?
I guess it depends on the people and what they're coming for. If they're already coming because they're interested in Krishna consciousness, then uh, I, I don't... It seems that they're already coming to Anamhara. Anamhara is already direct preaching. So they're already seeing kirtan and hearing Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? I mean, there's other devotees are there who are just already familiar with Krishna consciousness. So what will they do with something indirect? So it seems that people who are coming to Anamhara, then you speak to them, unless you do some kind of special program which is designed to be indirect, because that's what the bulk or the majority of the guests, that's their level of understanding. So you already have a pretty well-defined audience at Anamhata, that's devotees who are there to hear about Krishna. So when you bring new people into that already established atmosphere, it would seem that more or less that's what they're going to hear. They're going to hear direct preaching. And if you want indirect preaching, then more or less you have an atmosphere and a program where that's what it's all about, where that's what everyone is planning to present and planning to hear.
I understand. So for new people, we should arrange separate programs in order to prepare them before they come to Anamhata. Is it right?
That's another topic, but preparing people doesn't necessarily mean indirect preaching. Indirect preaching is when you don't directly preach Bhagavad Gita, but you can preach directly to Bhagavad Gita to new people, prepare them. It's just a question of how you preach Bhagavad Gita. And even if new people are prepared, they know, I'm going to a Hare Krishna meeting where they're going to talk about Bhagavad Gita or Krishna consciousness. And even though they've never heard it before, but if they're open and receptive, then there's no problem to them going there. But then obviously, for a new person, he's going to understand general things, not if you get into very detailed issues that maybe more advanced devotees will relate to only. But there's a difference between direct and indirect preaching, and preaching directly, different levels of direct preaching. So it isn't that beginners need to hear indirect preaching. I don't think that that's the general principle of preaching, but beginners need to hear direct preaching for beginners, not for intermediate people or for advanced people. Indirect preaching is, I don't know, you can define what indirect preaching is. Maybe you're talking about yoga or hatha yoga or the yoga, the principles of yoga or Ayurveda. But direct preaching is, beginning direct preaching means you start off, you're not this body, that you can tell anybody. And then more advanced preaching, you talk about the details of devotional service and how to execute devotional service. But direct preaching is for everyone, beginners to advanced devotees. And then indirect preaching, that's something else that you may do according to time and circumstance. But it's not necessary that someone be brought to Krishna consciousness through indirect preaching. Is that okay? Now I'm going to go back to that other example with the photographer. Sometimes I see the devotees want to take photographs and so on, either in the middle of a kirtan or when a lecture is going on, and that it's actually intruding in the kirtan, or maybe a little too visible for a lecture. My personal preference is that there are no photographers in kirtans, or if they photograph, they photograph from far away or from a balcony or something like that. And if people are taking photographs for class, that they do it in such a way that it's not intimidating, either, especially to the speaker, but then even to other devotees as well. It's one thing is when someone is an official photographer, in the previous question. But nowadays, any devotee with a telephone or with a camera thinks that they're also an official photographer. And there's a tendency for devotees to get more into photography than to be absorbed in chanting kirtan or in hearing class. So at least in this example, I think that here the service should take, or the photography should take second place to the actual devotional activities themselves, and be done in a way that it's not obtrusive to the devotees, so that it avoids any conflict.
Thank you very much.
I think activity of kirtan is, in principle, an activity that's for the participants and not a public, not a spectator sport. So that if we are actually taking photography, then be in a place or be in a position that doesn't cause the kind of conflict with devotees, even if the pictures aren't so up close, or even if they're not so good. Okay, so much on that.